Hi, we are Angie and Annalie, and this is Brain Basement, a podcast where two friends who used to do yoga together in a basement now chat about chaos and wellness. As moms, we understand chaos. As expats, we get what that chaos looks like when you take it overseas.
From Manila to San Jose, we share stories of living abroad and explore topics around mental and emotional well-being. This podcast is for expat moms who want to find wellness amidst the chaos of everyday life. Welcome to Brain Basement. We're so glad you're here.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Brain Basement. This is the second piece of a two-part series on gut health is brain health. So welcome back to the Gym for Brains. And if you haven't listened to the episode before this, I recommend that you start there and then listen to this one because it'll make a lot more sense. So we are back with Meredith Wiedemer. Hey, Meredith, welcome back.
Hey, Annalie, I'm so glad to be back.
Yeah, we've covered some great stuff, and I'm excited to pick up where we left off. So just as a little bit of a recap, last week we talked about the connection between our gut and our brain and what the brain is and what the gut is. And that relationship, we also talked about what happens if the gut isn't in the right place, right? And
yeah.
We talked a lot about inflammation and kind of red flags that we can watch for to communicate to us that something is just not right. And I said in the last episode, I wanted to talk about poop. So maybe we could just start.
Yes.
Having please. Young kids, it's like not taboo for me. We talk about it all the time.
No, of course.
But I guess what really interested me in the last piece of what you were saying was, so many of us live with these symptoms for years and years and years. And, you know, whether, like you said, it's chronic bloating or just kind of that overall puffy feeling. Mm-hmm. And we think it's just normal. And we kind of accept it as like, this is just the way I am. And there's no other way to live. And we kind of forget, like, well, is there another way to feel? And was I feeling different like 5 or 10 years ago? And I guess what made me think of poop was, I'll get super personal, but
yeah, you know, go for it. Get personal with me. Do it.
I've definitely had stretches of my life where, yeah, my bowels were not what they should be, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
kind of gotten to that point where it's like, oh, this is just normal. Like you know, they might not be the most healthy bowels, but because I'm having them for, you know, weeks, months, years on end, it's like, well, this is just how I poop. But it's,
yeah,
you know,
I mean, not pooping for in the morning, like can really impact your whole day. Like if you're, you know what I mean? Like
it,
think about the impact it can have. If you are backed up, I mean, it goes both ways. If you're backed up and you're not going on a regular basis and you're just flat out constipated, mm-hmm. You are probably not feeling great. And on the flip side, if you're going too often, right? So if you know, I'll just, since we are going there, I mean, you should be pooping once a day. Mm-hmm. It should not be difficult. You should be in and out, like when you pee, you know, and it should be solid and one long connection S shape. And that's it. It shouldn't be a difficult process. It shouldn't be a big deal. It shouldn't consume your life. You shouldn't be dreading it and you shouldn't be thinking about it. So yeah, that's definitely a sign that things in your, you know, gut are off.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't know, I could give, you know, just for your listeners, just, you know, like, I really want to stress that the things that we're going to talk about in this second part today You know, the people that are listening, you know, I'm not their personal, you know, health coach. So it's really always important to either consult your own health coach or consult your own medical practitioner, before making any changes. But, you know, the stuff that I'm going to suggest today, these are all, I'm not going to be suggesting any like crazy expensive supplements. You know, these are all things that you can get in your grocery store. These are all things that naturally you can do in your diet. But I just sort of want to say, you know, every single body works individually. But generally what I'll try to do is give general guidance, you know, like for constipation prevention, increase your water intake, right? Mm-hmm. That shouldn't be harming anybody, right? So generally people are not drinking enough water. So if you're constipated, you know, client comes in and says, I'm backed up. I'm going to say, let's start monitoring your water intake. Yeah. So just increasing water intake, being aware of your fiber intake. And when I say be aware of your fiber intake, that doesn't mean all of a sudden you need to go out and, like, do you remember those old commercials with like Total cereal?
Yes.
Or like Raisin Bran, like from our childhood, it was like, well, this is how you need to get your fiber. Like, you need to go out and have like 2 scoops of Raisin Bran and you will be okay. And, you know, so yes, that is definitely a source of fiber. But if you're just eating whole foods, you know, fruits, vegetables, beans, legumes, whole grains, you don't need to go out of your way to seek some magical supplement or some magical drink. And again, any medical problem that you're having, maybe with the exception of a hangover, did not occur overnight, right? These are things like we sort of talked about, you know, with the link between depression and Alzheimer's, or, you know, obesity and Alzheimer's, these are not things that just develop overnight. So you can't just expect like, oh, this week I had enough water and enough fiber. You know, why am I not all of a sudden going regularly? Your body, you know, we talked about, you know, our brain has a memory. Well, your gut has a memory. So your gut has been slowly adapting to the way that you have been eating your entire life. And if you are going to change the way that you're eating, you need to respect and give your gut the time to readjust to what you are now starting to put in your body. They're going to love it if you're changing your diet. If you're eating maybe sort of this traditional unhealthy diet and you're sort of moving away from that, you know, do it at a good pace, right? Wellness is not a destination, it's a journey. And, you know, so things like, you know, increasing your water intake, increasing your fiber intake. One thing that I ask people to get checked, if they're really suffering from chronic constipation, is their magnesium levels. So there is a link between foods that are high in fiber and magnesium levels. So, you know, if people are sort of saying like, this isn't working, you know, get your magnesium levels checked. And oftentimes incorporating, or, you know, you don't even have to get your magnesium levels checked. You can just sort of take a look at foods that are high in magnesium, like peas, almonds, you know, black beans, spinach, almonds, flax. You know, the internet obviously has all this information, but those are just to name a few. You know, increasing your magnesium foods and, you know, just little things like eat slower. Mm-hmm. You know, we're in a rush. So, you know, just to sort of answer your poop question.
Yeah,
I want to sort of just give little tips here and there with sort of the things that you're bringing up. So people who are sort of looking to make small changes, you know, but yeah, if you're going regularly, hopefully that's just one thing that you can stress a little bit less about.
Yeah. Well, and I think the thing about poop as a red flag is, again, kind of circling back to what we said in the first episode was, you know, whether we like it or not, it's something that we can see. And yeah. So like we can track
it's a great indicator.
Mm-hmm. Bloating, you know, you can feel it, you can actually, it is physical because you can see, you know, your belly kind of extended, but it's a little bit more vague for me where, you know, poop, it's like, oh, that's a healthy poop, you know, or I see it in my kids. So that's kind of interesting, like an interesting red flag for me that it,
no, I'm glad you brought that up because that
resonate with other people that like, okay, this is something I can watch.
Look in the toilet, people.
Yeah, it's easy. Stand up, turn around, and look. Mm-hmm. So I think, yeah, I like this discussion about kind of what to look for. And it's a good transition into, so you as an integrative health coach, I liked what you said. Obviously, everybody's health plan is going to look different. But I'd love to look at more specifics that you mm-hmm. would give to kind of like the general client. You know, if someone yeah. walks into your office and sure. I'm kind of listing off some of these symptoms, like, I'm just not feeling good. I'm not feeling like myself. I feel gross and bloated, or I can't yeah. remember half the stuff in my day, like the brain fog you mentioned. Like, where would you start with them and how would you kind of walk them down that path?
Yeah, definitely. So I think the first thing is getting a sense for people. People oftentimes, I find, sort of already know, if you sort of get them to open up and talk about it, what foods are not working for them, like sort of what their trouble foods are. So what I really like to do is start people off sort of with a 2-week food journal. Because, you know, people that are coming to see me, they potentially have already seen a doctor. They've already wasted or are spending $200 at a gym, or now people aren't going to gyms as much. You know, people who often are saying, look, I'm going to come to an integrative health coach or a nutritionist, are saying like, look, I've tried everything. It's not working. I'm not happy. I'm not losing weight. I have acne. I'm not sleeping. Like, I don't know what else to do. I don't want to take any more medication, or I don't want to I want to get off medication. So I think for me, getting a sense of where people are, and sometimes people don't realize where they are. Maybe people don't realize that they're not eating enough. Like, some people aren't eating enough. They think, I need to cut foods out. Like, I need to really watch my calorie intake. Or maybe some people don't realize how much they're actually eating. So just doing a food journal. So, you know, I would recommend for anyone who sort of wants to make a change, is sort of just, you know, every single day, you know, you don't need to track calories or weigh your food, but just write down what you're eating, what time you're eating it, write down when you're going to the bathroom, and how much water you're drinking, what your beverages are, and then how you're feeling. And then just sort of take a mental note of where you are at the beginning of the day. And it's important to take a mental note where you are at the beginning of the day, because the way you feel in the morning is impacted by what happened the day before. Mm-hmm. Right. So, you know, it takes a while for food to digest in our system. Sometimes it can just come out really, really quickly. And sometimes it can just take a long time to come out. So, just sort of doing that 2-week, sort of reality check on where you are, and then going back. And what I do is, after they sort of had that 2 weeks, I would go back with them and sort of look at patterns and say, oh, like those days that, you know, you sort of, you know, you, let's say, you know, twice a week, you know, maybe this is sort of a pre-COVID example, but, you know, oh, those weeks when you had, on Tuesdays and Thursdays, when you go out to eat with your team, those are the days that you usually feel a lot more lethargic and have trouble falling asleep. And that's because those are the days that you are not bringing your own lunch to work. So let's just look at that pattern and say, well, what are you eating? Where are you guys going out to eat? And sort of just saying, okay, let's work on making a better choice when you guys go out to eat, for that lunch, and sort of just going through and seeing what those patterns are. So that's where I would tell someone to really start right off the bat. Does that answer your initial question of where I would tell people to just start? And then we can go into other little sort of more specific things, but.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. And as you kind of look more closely at what they're eating, yeah, what kind of advice would you give around different types of foods that like a general, you know, client would be eating?
Yeah. So if a client is sort of really ready to dive in and say, look, I'm really committed. I can do it. I can sort of go hardcore, I guess you could say. I would probably, you know, if someone comes in and they're eating absolutely everything, they're sort of just like, I'm eating dairy, I'm eating, you know, eggs and meat, and I'm also eating a salad, but I'm also having a Snickers, you know, at the end of the night, I'm eating, you know, you know, some mornings I make a smoothie, but then some mornings I have no time and I just eat Cocoa Puffs with the kids as I'm running out the door, right? So they're eating, they know it's healthy, but they also are eating unhealthy. So the first thing I would probably have them do is sort of just do 3 weeks. And we talked a lot about anti-inflammatory. So I want to sort of focus just sort of specifically on that, yeah, is I'd sort of target in on doing 3 weeks of avoiding 5 specific foods. So gluten, dairy, soy, corn, and eggs. Mm-hmm. So I'll say that again, gluten, dairy, soy, corn, and eggs. And of course, making that recommendation, we would look to make sure that they didn't have any other medical conditions, you know, and I would sit with them and we would go over, okay, so someone, if I, you know, some people could say, oh, that's no problem, no big deal, I'll just go to Whole Foods and I can figure out from there. The idea would not to be suddenly replacing gluten, you know, say, okay, I'm not going to have bread anymore. Well, I'm going to go eat a bunch of gluten-free stuff. The goal would really be sort of to eliminate those, the concept of that food, you know, to the best of the ability. Because oftentimes, you know, if you pick up a bag of gluten-free pretzels, there can be a bunch of other added sugars, and a lot of gluten-free products have corn flour in it. So if you're eliminating corn, you want to really make sure you're looking at that packaging to make sure there's not, for example, corn flour in it. So just generally, I would make that recommendation. And the reason I would make those recommendations are, so those are sort of the 5 anti-inflammatory foods. If you do have leaky gut, mm-hmm, that those foods going in through your gut make it really, really difficult on your digestive system to process, right? And again, the 5 foods, with the exception of corn, think about it, those are not plants, right? Those are not vegetables, those are not fruits. And these are also things that, and this can be sort of a touchy subject, is those are things that ideally have not been modified, mm-hmm, over the years, like we sort of talked about our agricultural system. Those are things, these are things that have potentially been modified, right? So, you know, is all dairy created equally? Is all cow's milk created equally? You know, that could be a whole nother podcast. But anyway, those are sort of the 5 things I would recommend. Those are the 5 things I would recommend eliminating. And you know, a lot of times health coaches, will work in sync, like at a doctor's office. Like you could always, if you're going into your doctor, you could always ask, you know, maybe your doctor, and a lot of doctors now really enjoy working with health coaches because they sometimes just don't have the time. Like a doctor, you could go into your doctor and the doctor's like, hey, you really need to lose weight or you need to start eating healthy. And then that's it. They don't like give you a plan. So a lot of times it's really helpful when a doctor is, you find a doctor's office that actually is partnered with like a health coach, because mm-hmm, they can sort of work together, and the nutritionist or the health coach could work, you know, with that practitioner on ordering blood work and things like that. So there are, and people can look these up online, but there are 3 different tests that you can actually get tested if you are concerned about, you know, specifically if you have leaky gut. So there's like microbiome, there's stool testing, blood work, and urine testing. So, you know, people can consult with their doctors, you know, on getting those. But as a general rule, like you can also go through an anti-inflammatory diet and most likely without the test sort of heal yourself as well with the same guidance.
So the term elimination diet, is that what you would attach to that?
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it. And I think, you know, if someone comes in and says like, I'm ready to eliminate foods, my preference, a lot of people aren't ready to make that jump. It's hard for people, who have been struggling with their diet, to make such rash changes, especially if they aren't, you know, some people just, and it's fine. Like people don't like cooking in the kitchen. They don't know how to cook in the kitchen. They don't have time to go grocery shopping, right? It's easier for them just to order. So telling them off the bat, like I would sit with them and put a meal plan in place. Yeah. But if someone is not ready to make those changes, I really like the concept, and instead of eliminating, it's sort of adding in, right? So another thing, instead, after they would do that 4-week, after they would do the 2-week journaling, we would really look to add in whole foods. So if someone came to me and they were eating, if the only fruit they were eating a day was a banana, right? I would say, okay, well, let's aim for, you know, three vegetables per day. I'm sorry, three fruits per day. And so what we would do is we would slowly say, okay, instead of having that yogurt and honey for lunch, why don't you have an apple and peanut butter? Or, you know, so sort of that concept, people, you know, thinking positively, people, you know, want to sort of be like, oh yeah, like I'll add it in. Like that's no big deal. So the idea is sort of to crowd out the bad foods mm-hmm. instead of eliminating. I think people can identify with that and it's a little bit easier and more gradual. Yeah. And as you sort of add in the good foods, naturally the idea is that those sort of trigger foods do go away. And I mean, personally for me, and I don't know if you guys can relate as well, as especially when you move overseas, all of a sudden you're having to adjust to a new way of life. And, you know, even with COVID being inside and you're, you know, maybe you're not going to the grocery store as much, or you're just depending on food delivery. There's always things going to throw these out of whack. But I think, you know, those are sort of the things I would start out with.
Yeah. Well, and I love your emphasis on, you know, not so much elimination, but what are we introducing mm-hmm. with someone that has experience with elimination?
Yeah.
There's something mental that happens.
Yeah.
When you hear the word elimination, you know, it, those elimination quote unquote diets have been really hard, like mentally to wrap my brain around. Also, it brought up emotions in me that were hard to deal with, because like you said, your life is really, it kind of has to change for a period of time.
And that's the last thing that you want to do is, and that's why it's so important to sort of, you know, people used to, like, I feel like 90s was like crash diets, like early 2000s, right? People were like crash dieting, and it's just making these extreme changes. And I said it last part, but you know, your health is not a destination. It's a journey, right? Yeah. So making slow changes, giving your body a chance to adapt, respecting your body. And, you know, we're talking about brain health, and a quote comes to mind, actually sort of cheesy, but from Albert Einstein, you cannot solve a problem with the same consciousness that created it. So, you know, really getting in that mindset, making a plan, you know, going to a grocery store with a list, you know, really taking some time. And that's why I encourage people to do the 2-week journal, right? Because it gives you an opportunity to sort of get in touch with yourself. And so like you know, and just sort of taking stock, but can I talk to you a little bit about the things to add in, like you said?
Yes, please do.
Yeah, so I can definitely talk about some of the foods you can add in. I mean, I'm hesitant, but I feel like it's become trendy, like, to talk about like brain foods. Like people are talking about brain foods and superfoods, and I will just say that these are regular foods that you could be eating on a daily basis that will help you heal your gut. And because they help heal your gut, they will also help your brain. So we talked about healthy fats, right? Healthy fats and essential nutrients are required to go to your brain. So these are sort of why, like, omega, you know, people take fish oil pills, you know, like my dad takes fish oil pills. He does not like seafood. He has an allergy. And so that's great. That's so great that people have an opportunity to have supplements and alternative resources. But if you don't have any allergies and, you know, you're sort of good, you know, just some, you know, really getting those daily omega rich diet, you know, things through eggs, flax seeds, walnuts, tofu, going organic if you can, soybeans, a lot of salmon, mackerel, you know, sort of those fatty fishes. Those are all sort of those brainy, you know, the market is sort of like promoting those sort of omega rich foods, but really healthy, like aiming to get those healthy fats in your bodies. And I really encourage people to really trust that if they are eating fruits, vegetables, whole grains, nuts, legumes, you know, healthy protein in sources, that you don't need to count your calories and you don't need to count the fat, because your body is going to work properly to digest those foods.
Yeah. That's great to hear really specific examples. And as I'm hearing this and just thinking about the audience that we kind of speak to, mm-hmm. you know, community of expats, I mean, we all know so well, right? When we move somewhere, yep. not every country has this buffet of options, right? I think every time I come back to the States, is I can yep. walk into stores, health food stores, and not only do they have these, some of these brain foods or all of them, they have mm-hmm. pre-washed and packaged, and I can grab it and go.
You can.
It feels like it's so much more accessible depending on where you live, definitely in the States. But what advice would you give to people that they might not have these at the ready? And
so you bring up a really good point. So when I say, so just as an example, I'm in Azerbaijan right now, right? So you can't get hemp seeds here, right? So when I was living in the US, if you go to Trader Joe's, get a good deal on hemp seeds. And here there's not. But I don't need hemp seeds to get my daily dose of omegas or my daily dose of omegas, right? I can get those through walnuts. There's many sources. So what I do, and I also want to say, wherever people are living, there are people there that are native to the land mm-hmm. that are healthy, living without American food.
Yeah.
Right? So, you know, I encourage people when they move overseas, yes, there are certain things that you definitely are, you know, craving or those things, but fruits and vegetables, yes, you may not get the same abundance or variety, but trust in your local produce wherever you are living. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes, you know, in the US, like, you know, you could get the banana that you're eating is not from down the road, right? It's from south of us, right? It's from South America or Central or South America. So, you know, when you're living overseas, like, do your best to get that local produce. That local produce that you're getting is like that tomato that you're getting that's probably from the farmer 2 hours away, or, you know, those eggs that still have feathers on it that are not refrigerated, that we all are like, you go overseas and you're like, wait, you don't need to refrigerate eggs. You know, it's because the eggs are not processed, they're not clean, they don't have, you know, many countries don't have sort of the same sterilization requirements that we do have in the US. But, you know, trust that the people that you are living around have been eating that way for hundreds of years, thousands of years. And, you know, find out what they're eating, find out where they're going to, you know, don't be, you don't need to eat frozen peas, right? You can sort of get the same vitamins and minerals and essential oil, you know, everything from the local produce. So I guess my advice for people that are moving overseas is go to the grocery store and just stand in that produce section and buy it all. Mm-hmm. Buy it all. Mm-hmm. There's going to be eggs in every country that you are in. You know, there's going to be nuts in every country you're in. You know, the majority of the world uses legumes. Right? You know, beans are a great source. Majority of the world, you know, has healthy sources of poultry and seafood. So I guess I would just sort of trust in where you are, sort of like allow yourself to just stand in the grocery store and buy every single item in the produce section and then go home and try it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's not going to hurt you unless you have an allergy, but it is, and it's not going to hurt you. And right. There are some people there are, and like I said, I don't want to get too technical, but you know, some people do have sensitivities to certain fruits and vegetables, so you know, always take that into consideration. But you know, just generally speaking, you should be able to walk into that produce section of any place that you're living and, you know, be able to get what you need on a daily basis.
Yeah. And I love that. I love the mindset behind it that you're offering, because again, kind of circling back to what we were saying about elimination diet, you know, oftentimes when I've moved overseas, that initial feeling of feeling a lack or a restriction of, because I might not be surrounded by the things I'm used to being surrounded by, like the mm-hmm. ease of going to a grocery store and just picking something up. But to really realize, like you said, that there are wonderful things to take advantage of, to trust mm-hmm. that new environment, and also mm-hmm. to recognize that, like you said, the people that live there, the locals, are such a great resource. And there yes. are times where I've looked at the leafy green section and I've seen like 20 varieties that may or may not be spinach, but to just buy it and ask a local, like, how do you guys prepare this? Or what would be a recipe I could use with this? And honestly, some of my favorite foods that I've taken from different countries contain ingredients that I can only find in that country. And the other day I was at a store actually where I found I can't even remember what the thing produce is called, but I saw it in a store and I just kind of did an internal like happy dance because it reminded me of all the yummy things that we made with that particular type of produce. And so yeah, I just love that you're stressing the importance of trusting and kind of relax into that new culture and that new offerings of fruits and vegetables. And the other thing is, you know, I remember moving to Ukraine and I love the open local markets, but even in the grocery store there were carrots with dirt on them.
Yeah.
And I grew to love that because to me there was some message in my brain that was like,
yes,
these were picked an hour
these
ago,
were picked
and now you get them and
they came from the ground.
Yeah. And who knows, you know, what they might have used on them, but just that dirt was like a message to me that these are
it is
picking, you're getting
things, you know, things that grow in the ground, right? There is something to be said that there is, you know, knowing where your food comes from, there is an energy in the soil, right? Like if the soil is healthy and the produce that is grown in that soil will be better for you. And, you know, the cow that is making that milk or the cow that you happen to be eating, you know, is coming from a place where they got an opportunity to eat really healthy foods. You know, that cow is going to be healthier. That grass is healthier. That soil is healthier. You know, we're just sort of talking about this cyclical cycle within our own bodies. You know, the same goes for that cycle of the food that we're eating. And like I just have to say, like, you just last night on my if you live abroad, you know that you will be part of a WhatsApp group mm-hmm. that has like a million people in it constantly giving their opinion. But like for those listeners who aren't who don't know us, me, Annalie and I and Angie all used to live in the same neighborhood. But anyway, like on our WhatsApp group last night, like someone posted a picture of a berry and said, like, I don't know what this is. And they thought they were cranberries. And someone said, no, they're partridge berries. And someone said, no, they're currants. And someone said, no, they are a Mayday berry. And then someone said, no, they're a bird cherry. And another lady who is actually from Azerbaijan was like, I'm coming over to your house. I will look at the berry, try it for you, and then let everybody know what it is. And then, you know, I found it so fascinating because I was like, I don't know what this, I have no idea what this berry was. Mm-hmm. So it's just, you know, anyway, someone said it was like a sea buckhorn type. I don't know what that is. Yes, a buckhorn. I don't know what that is. But, you know, it just shows you that there's so many things you can eat out there that are good for you. And like I said, if it is a whole food and you eat that whole food and you eat those whole foods on a regular basis at every meal for snacks, and you eliminate those processed foods that are coming in a box with a bunch of weird ingredients on the back that are colored. I mean, if they're advertising to you, you know, if they're advertising to you, like those two scoops of Raisin Bran, like you don't see people like on TV saying like, eat this dirty carrot. Like carrots don't have to advertise. you know, like they don't have to do any work. Like there's no carrot industry, like PR firm,
right?
You know, so just think about that. Like that's a general rule to live by. And you know, if you are suffering, you know, from, you know, mild depression, you know, like I said, it before when we left off, it's so important to work with whomever you feel comfortable with as a support, you know, whether, you know, it's a, you know, a health coach or, you know, a practitioner, a therapist, or, you know, a spiritual leader, or, you know, just talking to a friend or a partner. Like it's so important to use that resource. But, you know, really, really, you know, if I could just impress upon people that if you're having trouble sort of overcoming, some personal, you know, troubles and fighting mild depression, that really looking at what you eat and really just sort of saying like, hey, you know, maybe if you're willing to spend the energy and going to a therapist, take some time to say, you know, say to look at your diet and look at what you're putting in your mouth and really take a check and tune in with how that is making you feel.
That's great. Thanks so much, Meredith. We're just so grateful for all the wonderful info and the awesome conversation we had with you. So thanks.
Thank you so much. This was really enjoyable. It was so great to talk to you. Thank you. And I just want to thank you guys so much for what you're doing. I know it'll touch a lot of people, and what you guys are doing really resonates with me, and I think is going to resonate with a lot of people, especially expats out there. So thank you so much.
Thanks, Meredith.